Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Today's episode, we will look back at major sporting events we have attended in the past. Now, Rick, you being a Sturt man from way back, what was it like going to watch them in the 1960s?
Well, it was wonderful. Being a Sturt supporter from a very young child, when they'd normally win about two games a season against South Adelaide and Glen Eld, to go into that period and have the success that they did was quite sensational. I went to every one of those grand finals as a young person. The first one was amazingly exciting, and it looked as though we were going to win, but in fact Port Adelaide got up and won by 3 points in 1965. Crowd of 62,543. Quite amazing compared with the 45 we can get in there today.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then, of course, they won the next three against Port Adelaide, 66, 67 and 68. And then, it's a sad thing really, but they won the next two in 69 and 70 against Glen Eld. But I think being able to beat Port Adelaide was something amazingly special, and those last two didn't seem quite the same without the black and white being there.
Absolutely, and I remember in the 1966, you actually lost the second semi, and you came back and you doubled the score, 16 goals to 8 in the grand final.
Yes, yes. In today's world, you'd wonder whether we'd visited a Pakistani bookmaker, wouldn't you?
Yes, and that's another subject for
another day.
Yeah. So what's your fondest memories of those five successes that Sturt had in a row?
I think, apart from the football, which I'll mention in a minute, it was just the atmosphere and the fact that everything was so different to the way it is today. You'd get up and stay there all night long and kick a footy in their gardens outside the Oval, and you'd have to buy your ticket on the way in, and I mean, it was just a huge party. It was an overnight huge party. And everyone seemed to behave themselves. And even when you went to have a kick, no one took your place in the line or the queue. And, of course, the football was pretty magnificent as well with that magnificent Sturt machine.
Yes, and I remember all the shops in Unley and Glenelg and other areas down at Alberton, they would all be decked out in balloons and streamers, and there was a real atmosphere about the SNFL back in those days.
Oh, it was. And I guess the reality is that through Jack Oatey, the game was beginning to change and was becoming far more of a spectacle. And give credit where credit's due. I mean, the Port Adelaide of that era and the Sturt were two amazingly consistent performing teams.
Absolutely, and all the kids at my schools used to just support, you know, Sturt and Port, because they were obviously the two power teams of the period.
Correct, yep.
And is there anything further that you want to bring into it about that period about Sturt?
Well, I think the thing was that Oatey, of course, was recognised for his incredible emphasis upon skills and the foot skills of Sturt with Shearman and Darryl Hicks and that sort of person, Tilbrook on the half forward flank, was just quite amazing to watch.
And you got the handball, they increased handball in their game plan, and the check side kick at goals, and there's quite a bit of changes in the game that sort of came about with the way Jack Oatey coached it.
Absolutely. I was actually playing as a younger member of the Sturt Football Club at the time, and probably the ugliest, best footballer of that period was Rick Schoff, who used to play at centre-half back. And I can remember one night at practice, Oatey trying to get him to learn to kick with both feet, which he couldn't kick very well with one foot, let alone the other one. And he went out and Jack sent him over to the far side of the Oval and said, "Don't come back until you can kick with both feet." And I don't think he ever came back.
Well, just moving on a little bit, there's I remember myself going to the Sturt Glen Eld Grand Final in 1970, which was my first experience of the Adelaide Oval in that time. And the atmosphere, everything sort of grips you. And coming from Elizabeth, I was obviously a Central District supporter. Centrals had never beaten Sturt right through to 1970, even mine around 71, had never beaten Sturt in 16 games. And finally, in 1971, Centrals made the the first semi-final. First time they played finals footy, and they were up against Sturt, who had won the previous five grand finals at three-quarter time, and there was only a kick in it. And, I was excited, hoping that Central could finally beat Sturt. And an Irishman named Robin Mahon kicked five last-quarter goals, and we got up by 27 points, which was a real highlight for me. And looking back and thinking about camping out to get in before the game, and the banners around the ground, the floggers, and the tray boys with their chalk ices, and a lot of fond memories of beanies, the red, white and blue beanies for us, and obviously the other colours for other teams, but I think ours were better because we had three colours, everyone else only had two. And it was just a wonderful period for myself as a young teenager. And the following year in 1972, North Allow became a little bit of a power, won in 71-72. And in 1972, they played the Championships of Australia against Carlton. And the way that series sort of worked is Tasmania and West Australia, Victoria and South Australian Premier teams all met on a weekend. And it was actually delayed after the long weekend because there was a draw in one of the Victorian VFL semi-finals. But on the Saturday, South Australia through North Adelaide beat City South in Tasmania, and West Australia with East Perth had Carlton from Victoria. And Big Mal Brown sort of roughed Carlton up a bit, so it evened things a little bit for the North Adelaide Carlton final on the Sunday. And at three-quarter time, Carlton were leading by 5 points and coming home with a slight wind, but North Adelaide prevailed by 1 point. And the famous Jesselinko remark about clapping Robin with his skills that day just sort of stick in the memory. Thanks forever.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that Barry Robin was probably the most perfectly complete footballer that I ever saw play.
Yeah, he was magnificent. And the following year in 73, which was the last grand final at Adelaide Oval before the shift to Footy Park, I remember being in the John Creswell stand on the steps there and seeing Graham Corns leap and take that famous mark, which put Glenelg 1 point up, and John Sandilands ruined the fairy tale by kicking a goal after the siren to make it 7 points.
Yes.
Had a huge impact. And of course, 74, Footy Park, Sturt and Glenelg, and Sturt got up against the wind in the last quarter and won the first grand final at Footy Park.
Yes. All very exciting.
And of course, you stopped being a major Sturt supporter, more of a Power supporter in the 2000s, and you've got a little tale to tell about 2004 now.
Well, it's not that I have given up on Sturt, it's just that I wanted to get into AFL, and it was Port Adelaide that I chose. And 2004 really was a highlight. It supposedly was the team, Brisbane that is, that was the best team that we'd seen since the war, having won three in a row. Mm-hmm. Port Adelaide, interestingly enough, had finished minor premiers in two of those 3 years that Brisbane actually finished up winning the premiership. And then for it all to come together in 2004 to beat Brisbane 17-11 to 10-13 was quite amazing. About the only thing, to be honest, as a Port supporter that spoiled it a little bit for me was Choco pulling his tie and getting rid of the tag that Port had been given as chokers, and I thought that perhaps was a little lacking in class in a celebration of an AFL grand final. But the highlight to me, apart from the win, was Byron Pickett's run down. Virtually, it gets better and longer as I remember or as I recall it, but basically running down the entire flank of the MCG, which was just quite sensational, really.
Yes, the AFL has offered another aspect of supporting footy. It's probably not the same as supporting your Sturts and your Centrals, but it's more of a big stage type atmosphere, and it's a little bit bigger than the SNFL in the sense of how many people come to watch it and how much media exposure it is. And that Port victory was well earned, and I don't think too many people expected it after they did have a bit of a reputation for choking.
Well, they did. And the fact is that whether we liked it as a supporter or not, the reality was they didn't win the game, the big games. I mean, to finish minor premiers and then not even make the grand final in a couple of those years, there was some degree of justification for it. we won't go into it, but I know they got beaten in a semi-final by Sydney here, and Adam Goods basically won the game on his own by half-time, but they got there in the end.
Yes, I have some. I've only been to two AFL grand finals. I went over there in 97, 98, because at the time the Allied Crows were for all South Australians, and that was, you know, it was a bit of entertainment other than, you know, supporting Centrals who'd never won a flag, and to be involved over there in the crowd and the atmosphere and against St Kilda and North Melbourne, two clubs who I sort of had a soft spot for growing up, and yeah, it's just the magic of being there at the MCG on Grand Final Day is just an experience everyone should have in their lifetime.
Oh yes, and to be the Crows' two victories are quite historical, not only in the fact of them occurring, but the way in which they won them, because in actual fact, taking nothing away from the Crows, they certainly weren't minor premiers on either occasion, and they just played two seasons of well-nigh perfect finals football to actually achieve those wins.
Well, I think the second year they played West Coast in Western Australia in the last minor round game, and then they went to Melbourne and they actually lost to Melbourne from fifth spot, and they lost that, but they managed to survive. And then they went to Sydney and they beat Sydney, and then they beat Western Bulldogs in Melbourne, and then of course a grand final against North Melbourne, what, 12 game winning streak.
Yes, it really is quite interesting, isn't it, in the sense that I'm not sure who came up with the formula in those days, but it would be, to the best of my memory, the only time that you could lose a final and progress to the next round.
From fifth spot, yeah. I think Crows may be the only side ever to win a flag from that position on the table.
I think so, yes.
Well, that period also led into perhaps the most emotional success in football for myself as a supporter, when the Central District finally got the monkey off their back in 2000. And obviously, they went on to play in 12 consecutive grand finals for 9 premierships. But that first premiership, it was just, you could feel the emotion rising as a Central supporter, and it's sort of something you'll never forget. And as far as being close to a side and supporting a team all your life and getting that initial success, it's a wonderful feeling.
Oh, it was just incredible, particularly when you take into account that for when they first were introduced into the SANFL, they seemingly struggled for quite some time, and then to come through and then have the incredibly consistent success for 12 years, basically. And they're a powerhouse, and they're even a powerhouse now, even though they mightn't be right just at the very top. They've built the tradition that the Port Magpies basically had for a long time.
There were many wonderful players through the club at that time. Matthew Slade played in 8 flags. The Gowans twins played in all 9 premierships. It was just a wonderful array of players that the club had, and to get that group of players and to get the transition through those 12 years, to watch them sort of continue that success, it was probably what Port Adelaide supporters felt in the past.
Yes, and I think a great deal of credit needs to also go to not only the players, but to the staff and the recruitment and the ability for Centrals to hold on to the nucleus of that side that kept them going. Sure, introducing younger players, but wonderful performance.
And just a little side story in regards to that 2000 Grand Final, which was played in mid-September because the Olympics were on. And at the time, I actually scored a job in the Olympics as a baseball sports specialist, and I had to be over in Sydney for the whole month, but I was that confident that I'd actually bought passage to come back on the day to watch the grand final and then sort of travel back on the Monday morning. And the amazing thing is I never thought of the fact that the plane might have been delayed. So everything went well. My brother picked me up at the airport and I got to savour it. But it was a wonderful time, as were the Olympics. So it was like the Olympics were the icing on the cake for me, which were absolutely wonderful, and one of the best experiences to be at an event like the Olympics.
Well, yes, you're very fortunate. Unfortunately, I've never actually seen an Olympics live. It's one of my bucket lists of things still to do.
Well, you've got plenty of time here, Rick.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Now, another point of interest in sports in Adelaide, of course, is back in 1985 to 95, we had the Formula One Grand Prix.
Yes. Well, I think we were both there for the first one. A bit of a family connection there. My brother Mike and Mal Hemling basically were the two chief officers running the thing. And so I was very fortunate to be able to be in the grand or the pits above the pits and have wonderful views. And again, it was the atmosphere as much as anything that grabbed me. I mean, I'm not the greatest Formula One motor fan of all time, but to have the very first one, won by Keke Rosberg, and there's no doubt the smell, you know, the petrol head, it was, and also the crowds afterwards, where the streets were closed off and sitting outside the pubs and drinking and celebrating and the colour and the flags. It was something, it's very sad that we've lost it, really.
Absolutely. It even sort of gave it almost a European flavour, where I suppose the Grand Prix sort of gets a lot of its prestige from in the European races. And to bring that out to Adelaide and have it embraced was just sensational. And I think that's what they used to call it, Sensational Adelaide.
They did indeed. The only other little other interesting piece of trivia while we had the Formula One was that we also hold the record of in the 1991 Formula One Grand Prix of having the shortest ever race, which only went 14 laps due to shocking weather. And Ayrton Senna, who actually won it, kept waving and saying, listen, we've just got to come in, it's just too dangerous to race. But they declared that 14 laps was enough, and so he won a Formula One Grand Prix after driving only 14 laps.
Gee, that's unheard of, really.
Well, it is, and I haven't bothered to work out how much he was getting paid per second, but it would have worked out a pretty useful performance for 14 laps.
My two memories of the Grand Prix would be at the first Grand Prix, walking around the track, trying to find a spot to get some photographs of the cars, and I found this chicane area where the cars sort of come in and out, and I got some really memorable shots for myself to keep, to look back on, which I was really pleased of. And I got Alan Jones, the Australian Grand Prix driver, which is my favourite pick to remember the race by. And then a few years later, they held fun runs after the practice sessions, and it ran for about 3 years, and I'll never forget, they herded us in this area, pinned in this area with a couple of thousand people in something like about a 38 degree day, and then they put us out on the track where we waited for 5 minutes and the steam was rising off the track. It was that hot, and I know I ran a PB time, and I think a lot of other people did, because we wanted to...
You just get out of the heat.
So yeah, that's the Grand Prix's a wonderful time, but... For me personally, probably the most memorable sporting event that I've ever been to would have been in 1999 in Sydney as a test event for the Olympics. They at Homebush, they had the Intercontinental Cup for baseball, which had eight nations participating. And Australia eventually won the gold medal, which was to date the only gold medal they've ever won in senior company. But the thing I really liked about the whole event was the stories behind the stories. Now, as a South Australian, there was two of our local lads playing. There was Shane Bennett, a pitcher, and he actually pitched the winning game in the semi-final against Japan to get us into the final. And the extra inning success over Cuba, which was a 4-3 result, Tom Becker from South Australia, who came from the Sturt Club, was a winning pitcher. So we can hold our head high. But the most amazing story, we had Dave Nilsson, who was probably our greatest major league baseball from America, who comes from Queensland. He was a catcher and he played the whole series and he won the MVP of the series. Gary White from Sydney was a catcher who was recovering from cancer, and he didn't get an at bat at all until the gold medal game, because Dave Nilsson was, you know, irreplaceable basically. But he came in as a pinch hitter in the top of the 11th innings, with the runner on second base, and he got a hit to bat the run in, which was the eventual winning run, which is a lovely story.
Yes, a beautiful story indeed, yes.
So many, many fond memories of that, and of course rekindled a little bit in 2014 at the Sydney Cricket Ground when Los Angeles Dodgers and Arizona Diamondbacks, yes, played Major League opening series. Now, your greatest memory, I believe, might have been West Indies in 61.
Well, I was only a young fellow, but it was just the most magnificent test match that I have ever been to, the 60-61 West Indies-Australia game. And the amazing thing is that it was a draw, mm-hmm. but it was the draw was achieved through Lindsay Klein and Ken Mackay batting throughout the entire last session to save the game. There was no chance of us winning it. And to see Wes Hall virtually starting his run from the sight screen and the 10 other West Indians gathered around the two of them within touching distance. And perhaps the most emotional thing I've ever seen in my life was that when it got down to the last ball of the day, and therefore to avoid, well, if they'd got the wicket, the West Indies would have won. At the speed that Wes Hall bowled, Ken Mackay just stood there and dropped the bat down below his waist and stood there and let the ball hit him so that it just avoided any risk of giving a catch to any of these close infieldsmen. It was just an amazing test match. Also, Rowan Kanhai made a century in both innings. Lance Gibbs took a hat-trick. It was just the sort of perfect cricket match, really.
And what's your memory of the crowd reactions when the game had finished?
Oh, it was quite amazing because, as we all know in Adelaide, you might have a certain number of people there, and then when the word gets around that something exciting is happening and people are leaving their offices to come down to the ground and the gates are open, and I think there were probably four times the number of people there at the end of the game as there at the end of the day as there was at the beginning of the day. It was just fantastic.
Wonderful memories. And just to finish off with, just a little bit on 1987, the World Sprint Triathlon title was held at Fremantle in Western Australia, and I was able to compete in that, not as one of the elite athletes, but just they had a field up to 300 people that could compete. So it was a big thrill for me to actually compete in that event, and Rick Wells from New Zealand actually won it. But the amazing thing about the whole event was the America's Cup yachting trials were being held sort of off the coast there, so it created a wonderful atmosphere.
Oh, it would have, yes. Yeah,
absolutely, and we're very lucky in Australia to, you know, have so many great events over the history, and of course ours is only over the last 40, 50 years, but yeah, sports in South Australia and Australia, it's been wonderful.
Wonderful memories.
This was the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Rick Drewer.
Catch you next time.